We're going to be in John, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 32nd verse here. You know, we celebrated Halloween yesterday. You know, when you look at Halloween, that is a holiday of death. It's all about death, it seems like. You drive around, you'll see tombstones in people's yards or coffins, or we talk about skeletons and ghosts, and everything just seems to be about death. What? Yeah. And do you know what the best-selling costume was this year?
Oh, Transformers.
Michael Jackson.
And it was because he's dead. And that just seems to be what that holiday is all about. Maybe that's why we don't even celebrate it. We don't even call that a holiday. So we're going to talk about death. And I'm certainly not going to make light of death. Because death is something that, you know, we all face. We don't want to talk about it. But in reality, it's something that one day we're going to face. So I want us to maybe understand a little bit what we're talking about when we're talking about death. I want to put it maybe into perspective. You know, death is something that we've just never experienced before. So we are nervous about it. My father used to say all the time, "Heaven's my home, I'm just not homesick." You know, there's a song going around now that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, and that's the way it is. You know, it's not something we've experienced, and when we haven't experienced something, we are nervous about it. Think back when you were a child, that first day you went to school, and you're nervous about it because you've never done that before. When you spent the night away from home that first night, you're nervous about that because you never experienced that before. When you had that girlfriend or that boyfriend and you had that first kiss, you were nervous about that because you weren't sure. You've never done that before and you want to make sure you do it right. But you're just nervous when you have to stand up for the first time in front of somebody and make a speech or sing a song. If you've never experienced that, if you've never done it, you're nervous about that, and that's what it is about death. We are nervous about that. We've never experienced it before, so we really don't know what to expect. I told my wife, when I die, to spread my ashes at Walmart, because I know she'll visit me two or three times a week. If you ask my wife what she wants on her tombstone, she will tell you, "See, I told you I was sick." I promise you, that's what she would say. You can go on the internet and you can look up all these crazy epitaphs that are on tombstones. One I like is, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." You know, I'm not trying to make light of death. I just want us to understand something. And I think with this scripture that we have here today, that we can get the perspective that we need to have on death. I want you to look at John, the 11th chapter. I have some glasses here somewhere. I just bought them. I'm going to start in, this story actually starts back on like the 17th verse, but I'm going to start here at the 32nd verse. If you have your Bible, you can read along with me. If not, listen as I read. John 17, 32. John chapter 11, starting at the 32nd verse. Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell to his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with straps of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." When we read this story, we can identify with Mary here. We understand her grieving. And she fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." If you read back earlier in this, Martha, when she saw Jesus, said exactly the same thing. Lazarus wasn't an old man. We don't know what caused Lazarus to die. But we do know this, that Mary had seen the power, the healing power of Jesus at work. And she knew that if Jesus had been there, and if he had willed it, her brother wouldn't have had to die. See, we understand Mary's grieving because we have been to that place before. We have been to the place where a young husband dies, leaving children at a young age, terribly ridden with cancer, and just within a month's time passes away. We've experienced the young woman who was a mother and a grandmother to small children being taken from us by a brain tumor just way before we expected her to have to go. We've experienced the loss of a teenager killed instantly in a car accident before he really even had a chance to live. See, we have been where Mary was right there. And we have felt those feelings like that before. And we have cried out, "God, if you had been there, this didn't have to happen." Listen, life's mysteries are far too great for us to understand why things happen. But I think that's why this story is important. It's not because we're going to get some deep understanding about death. Because we are not. We simply are not going to be able to understand everything there is about death. But what we can get from this story, when we read the story and look at what this story is telling us, we can get the idea that because of this story, we can increase our faith. We can get a sense of trust and confidence that God loves us in the presence of life and in death. We know that because when we read these scriptures here, it says when he saw Mary weeping and the other people weeping, it says he was deeply moved in his spirit. He was troubled. And then comes the shortest verse in the Bible, but a verse that says so much about who Jesus is. It says Jesus wept. Where would we be today if we did not believe that God really did care about our suffering, about our loss? Listen, the next time you're in a place like many of you are today, you're hurting, you're asking yourself, does God really care about me? I want you to remember John 11:35, that little small scripture. And I want you to understand it. Jesus wept. When you realize that, when you take that in, when you understand that here Jesus was, the Son of God, he's standing there, and with these two heartbroken sisters, and he cares about them. He loved them. Well, he cares about us too. And I love the thing that Larry wrote on his Facebook this week about friendship and what friends are, and what it means to be a friend. You know, Jesus is the kind of friend that you want to have, because Jesus, he agonizes with you when you are suffering and you're hurting. He's hurting. He's agonizing with you. When you're happy and you're excited, I think he's happy and excited for us too. And he doesn't judge us. He just accepts us. Well, even with all our mistakes, he accepts us. And we need to understand, but when we read the scripture, that Jesus cares about us. He cared about Mary, and he cared about Martha, and he cared about Lazarus, but he cares about us too. The Jews said when they saw Jesus weep, they said, "See how he loved him." You know, we mourn for people when they die because we love them. We care about them. We're going to miss them. The other part of the Jews said to him, "Could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" You see, that's the question that Mary and Martha were asking. If you would have been here, he didn't have to die. The question that we're asking, God, we know you care about us, okay? We believe that. So why don't you prevent these bad things from happening? Fortunately, that's not the end of this story here. Jesus comes to the tomb where they had laid Lazarus. In front of that tomb is a stone. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Jesus said, "Roll that stone away." And then here comes Martha. Old practical Martha. Martha says, "Jesus, I don't think you want to do that. He's been in there for 4 days. And it's, you know, it's going to stink if you do that." See, Martha is the practical one in this family. Remember, it was Martha when Jesus was there. She complained to Jesus that Mary just sat at his feet while she was having to do everything. But Jesus says to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away, and Jesus began to pray. And he prays this prayer. "Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I know that you always hear me. And I'm saying this for the benefit of those standing here around me, so they will know that you sent me. And after he says that prayer, he calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And then out walks Lazarus, all wrapped up in all these linen that they wrapped the bodies in during that time. Jesus tells them, "Take off those clothes, take off those garments, take off those rags, and let him go." See, that's how this story ends. A terrific ending for a remarkable story. We don't see what really happens after that. If you read on in the verses, you're going to see that some of the people were just awestruck with Jesus. And don't you know they were? Wonder what Mary and Martha felt like. Here their brother was given back to them. Don't you know they were celebrating and they were so full of joy. And some of the Jews just fell down. Some of them ran to the Sanhedrin and told them about what had happened. And that was the beginning of the end for Jesus, because they were saying, "Hey, we have got to do something now. He's raising people up from the dead. If we don't do something quick, we're going to lose our power, our hold on these people." But what the scripture shows us is that Jesus has power over life and death.
Amen.
And that we don't have to be afraid of death. It's not the end of the story. For our death is not the end of our story. We just get let go. We just get set free. I love the story that Robert Shuler Jr. talks about. He tells the story in his testimony about when he was a little boy. He used to catch these bumblebees in a jar, and he'd put a wet wash rag in there with that, and it would be where these bumblebees would sting this wash rag, and then he could pull the stingers out, and then he would take these bees and let them crawl all over him, and all the girls just went crazy, and he was such a big, tough guy, because these bees didn't even sting him, or if they stung him, he was too tough, it didn't even hurt. Paul says that's what it is. That's what death is like for us. The sting has been taken out of that fear of death. Listen, the death of a loved one can crush us. You know that. You've been there. You felt that. But we can bear it up under that weight, because Christ is not only the Lord of life, but he's the Lord of death. And although we too will die one day, we too will rise again.
Amen.
That's the good news about death. But I think we really need to understand, when reading the scripture, the reason Jesus raised Lazarus up. He didn't raise Lazarus up so he could give him back to Mary and Martha. Jesus cared about Mary and Martha. That wasn't the reason he raised Lazarus up. It carried was the reason that Jesus raised people up from the dead. There would be nobody in cemeteries. Because Jesus cares about all of us. It wasn't just that Jesus cared about them. He wants us to understand that death has a purpose in God's world. And it's not a purpose that we're going to understand until we are in his presence. But the answer why Jesus raised Lazarus up is in this prayer. When he prayed, Jesus, when he prayed, "God, Lord, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But I'm saying this for the benefit of those standing you around me so they will know that you sent me. Jesus raised Lazarus up from the dead to show the people, show his disciples who he was. Listen, Lazarus' resurrection didn't last forever. Lazarus died. We don't know when, but he's not here today. You don't see him on David Letterman being interviewed. I don't feel he'd be 2,000 years old. Lazarus died. Death is part of God's plan. It wasn't initially part of his plan, but death is part of God's plan. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead because he wants you and I to know that he is the Son of God. Listen, I don't know who you say Jesus is. A lot of people say Jesus was a great teacher, an inspirational leader, and boy, he was that. He was both those things. But do you see him as the one who raised Lazarus from the dead? Because if that's who you see Jesus is, then your life is changed, because the God you serve has power over life and power over death. He gives us the power to live the life that we're supposed to live. He strengthens us daily. He empowers us to do the things that we need to do. But he says we can trust him with our life. We can trust him with the lives of our loved ones, because he cares about us. He wept at the graveside of his friend, but he has power over life and over death. And what more do we need to know? There's a woman named Louisa Steed. You probably don't know her, but one day her and her husband and her young daughter were at the oceanside having a picnic. And she looked out in there and she saw a young boy who was being sucked under by the waves, and he was drowning. Her husband ran into the ocean to save him. Unfortunately, the waves were so strong they took both of them under, and they both drowned. And Louisa and her daughter had to stand there on that beach, helpless to do anything, and watched her husband and this young boy drown. She was heartbroken, and you can imagine. After a few days of mourning, she wrote this song. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end."
Amen.
Louisa Steed saw Jesus as the man, the Savior who raised Lazarus from the dead. She saw her Savior as a person that has power over death. And whatever she went through, and it was tough to go through this, I'm sure. Eventually, when her daughter got older, she became a missionary and went to Africa. She trusted Jesus enough. She believed in her heart that Jesus had power over that death, and that she was going to see her husband again, and that it wasn't the end. It was just the end of their relationship right then. That's why we're talking to Chuck, and Sarah, how important it is that we make the most out of the relationships that we have now. We only have a short period of time to share with one another. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Nothing's promised. And when death comes, it's going to come to all of us, whether we want to face it or not, unless Jesus comes first. Death is part of God's plan, and you need to understand that. If there wasn't death, this world would be so crowded, we wouldn't be able to live. But that doesn't take away the pain and the sorrow and the grieving when we lose a loved one. We can't say, well, that's just God's plan. Hallelujah, praise God. You know, we just can't do that because we love and we care. And Jesus didn't do that. He wept, he cared. And you need to know that he cares about you. I don't know why there's so much tragedy in the world, but I do know that Jesus loves me. He cares about me. And I know that one day I too am going to face death. But I also know that he is going to raise me from the dead, and he's going to loose me. He's going to set me free. And all the things that hinder me now, all the things that weigh me down now, I'm going to be set free of. And Priscilla gave me an article in the paper about a pastor that used to be our pastor at the church we were at before I came here. In this story, Danny Mac had he had suffered a heart attack and he suffered another one. And now his church is closed down. And he was writing this, and he says, you know, he was walking out one day and he saw a sign like that. It says exit, you know. And it's lit up, and so everybody can see it. But he says, you know what? Every time you walk through a door that says exit, you're entering into something else. When it says exit here, you're entering to the parking lot. When you exit from one door, unless you're walking into a wall, you're entering into someplace else. And that's the way life is. When one door is shut, when you have to go through one door, and you think everything is lost and everything is bad, you're entering into something else. Death is not the end. You know, when you came into this world, you came in hollering and screaming. You were perfectly happy where you had been. You weren't excited about coming in here. Now all these bright lights and this guy's slapping you on the butt. You know, you were perfectly happy being there in your mother's womb, but you can't stay there forever, can you? And then you come into this life, and then now all of a sudden you have a family and parents, and you get to experience it. It's just going from one door to another. That's what death is. When we go through that door, we're exiting through one door, but we're entering into another. We don't have to be afraid of death. We can be nervous about it, anxious, because you know what? We've never experienced it. But once we experience it, I promise you this, all the pain, all the suffering, all the agony that you have gone through in your lifetime is not going to be, it's going to be like a drop of water in the ocean compared to the goodness and the greatness of heaven. Amen. You're not going to remember all this. You're going to think, man, I could have done that without complaining one time if I'd have known all this. If I'd have known I was going to end up here, I wouldn't have complained. I wouldn't have griped about anything. That was just a short period of time I had to go through. I'm here forever.
That's right. Amen.
I just, as we focus on on death. I want us to have the right perspective about it. Death is not final. It's not the end. It's the beginning of your eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in your scriptures here today, you show us, you tell us, you demonstrate to us how much you care about us, how our grieving, our suffering breaks your heart too. And that when we cry, you cry. And that when we grieve, you grieve. And that you understand what it means to grieve. And Heavenly Father, you know more about suffering than we will ever know. But you want to show us today. You want us to experience today your love for us. You want to show us this day how much you care about us. Father, I don't know how you're going to do that. I never know how you're going to demonstrate things, because every time I think I know, you fool me and do something else. But you're going to show us today how much you love us, how much you care about us. And as we go through life, we can be nervous and excited and even worry about things that we've never experienced before. But we will not fear death, because we know from your word, your promises, that when we are absent with the body, we are present with the Lord.
Amen.
And that the moment that we leave this place, although we seem to have to do it alone and we have to leave everything behind, Father, you are there to meet us. We are escorted to heaven with the heavenly angels, and now we rejoice in heaven forever and ever. Father, we thank you that you love us enough to give us eternal life. But Father, you want us to enjoy this life. You want us to have peace and joy, and you want us to have victory, and you want us to succeed, and you want us to be the very best that we can be right here. We can only do that if we trust you and let you live through us, and be willing to take chances, be willing to go out on a limb, be willing to be uncomfortable in some situations. But Father, when you lead, guide us, and direct us into a place, if we will follow you in there, you will deliver us, you will set us free, and we will have victory and joy and peace and love that we've never experienced before, because we were obedient to you. Father, I pray right now that this is a room full of obedient people. We forget the little things that we have put in our lives to distract us, but that we will concentrate right now on being your child, your obedient child, that will love with all our heart. We will forgive when we've never forgiven before. We will speak up when we've been quiet before. We will stand up when we refuse to do that before. We're going to be a new person. We're going to be energized and empowered and entrusted to do the will of God. I just pray that this church will be filled with people like that, excited about the chance to do new things, to love people in spite of themselves. Father, you understand what a true friend is. It's a friend, that person that cares about us, not because they can give us something, but because we truly care about them. And when they hurt, we hurt. And when they are happy, we're happy. We're not envious or begrudge people anything, Father. We want everybody to receive everything they're entitled to. Father, we want to receive what's entitled to us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you do care about us. And when we're grieving and suffering, I just pray that in the times and the days coming up, when we have to go through this grieving and suffering, we will remember that verse and how you wept at the graveside of a friend, and how you cared so much that even the people around him could see, wow, see how much he loved me. I want people to look at me and say, wow, how much does he love Jesus? Father, I pray for those that are not able to be here today. Father, bring them back to where they need to be. Heal their bodies if they need healing. Mend relationships. There's nothing impossible for you to do, because we're going to live this life and then we too will die. But hallelujah, we're going to be raised again and set free and let go, and we're going to rejoice forever in the presence of Christ. What more can we ask for? Father, we thank you that you are that God. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive, living in heaven. And we too will live with him. Father, we wait the day till that time comes. May we always be busy with your work until that day comes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The question that we need to ask you.